They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. We are 5 weeks into Season 2, completed our first month on FISM-TV Network. As always, thank you for listening to us on 610 ESPN Philadelphia. We kept it local the first month. We stayed in Philly with Eagles coach Doug Peterson, tight end Zach Ertz, linebacker Jordan Hicks, and quarterback Carson Wentz from the defending Super Bowl champions. So we're going to talk this week with one of their opponents last February, defensive lineman Trey Flowers from the New England Patriots. Guys, can you try and make it through without booing during this episode?
Hey, when the Philadelphia Eagles are champs, there's no need to pay attention to, make the other team feel worse about that. So,
Pastor Kyle, you were there.
You were down there. You enjoyed
the experience. If people will read the first chapter of Birds of Prey.
What book was that? Who wrote that book?
Yeah, it's a guy you guys know. They'll get an experience of what it was like Super Bowl morning.
Incredible.
Talk about that a little bit. Since we haven't, the first 4 weeks we haven't talked. Tell us a little bit about what Super Bowl morning was like.
It was so incredible. We had the opportunity to be able to do a service first thing in the morning. And I think that was so powerful. Early before the Super Bowl, a lot of the team for the Eagles got together. And we just had 35, 40 minutes of worship on the same screens. We're showing worship videos on the same screens that they were showing offense and defensive film during the week. And then had an opportunity just to share a little bit and to watch the guys start off that day so powerfully with a purpose of just connecting with God. Just being there, they prayed over each other. I think that's who they are, and that's what made that day really super special, I think, for me, is to watch them. Everyone talked about when they won, their first response being giving glory to God, and we see that a lot, now, which I'm really excited about. I think there's a lot more athletes that have utilizing their platform to really give glory to God, but for me, what spoke is that they started the day worshiping God. They ended the day worshiping God. Because that's who they are. They just love to worship God.
It was a beautiful thing, and I appreciate the opportunity of you sharing that with me, Carson sharing that with me, and allowing it to be chapter one of our book. Our show is called Faith on the Field. But what is faith? I can't touch faith. I can't see faith. I can't hold it. I can't look at it. I can't poke it. Can't punch it. Yeah, give it a right. I can't physically do anything to faith. Faith, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see God. I believe in God. I can't reach out and touch Jesus Christ, but I believe he died for my sins, rose 3 days later, and will come again. See, faith requires hope.
Yeah.
Faith requires confidence. If I want it, if I wish for it, if I hope for it, I have to see it. I have to envision it. I have to picture it in my mind, whatever it is, and it's happening, and believe and pray for it to be true. But the foundation, that foundation is faith.
Yeah.
And hope, it's a way of life. Hope is a way of living. But hope can't stand alone. I have to put hope. I have to put it into action. I have to be active. I have to do something about it. It takes faith, a whole lot of faith, to get through bad times, to endure hardships, to believe there are better days ahead. And it also takes faith to ride the wave when the good times are so good. See, faith, it's not visible, but without it, I have nothing. That's what faith is to me. Pastor Kyle, tell us how you would describe faith.
Yeah, I think the way that you just described it is beautiful, Rob. I also would just kind of add to that. I think, many of us had a crush And many of our listeners probably have had a crush at certain times of their life. And before they actually took that step, right, before we asked our current wives out, we had a thought process of what that would be like. But faith actually is, no, you got to ask her out. There has to be
that action.
Exactly. Faith is actually an invitation for intimacy. And that's what God has allowed us to do. Grace has given us the ability to be able to be intimate with God, because his grace then covers us to be able to have a relationship with him. But faith is actually the invitation and the stepping into that intimacy with God. And so I love that verse that you just used, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. That word substance, faith is the substance. That word is the word for title deed. It's where we get our mortgage from. And that's what I love about that thought process, because what faith does is that when I get done paying my mortgage, or in this case, if someone else paid my mortgage for me, the moment I had that title deed, I wouldn't keep paying. I don't have to keep working to try to earn my house. I already have my house. I don't have to earn my salvation. I already have my salvation. I don't have to worry someone's going to take that house away from me. Why? Because I have the title deed. So when I actually believe God, faith is actually believing God at his word. God says it, I believe it. That actually, and I'm willing to activate it in my life. That gives me the title deed to say, man, I can rest assured there's no one that can take this deed out of my hand. I'm going to enjoy my house. I'm going to enjoy my life with God. I'm going to enjoy this moment.
It depends where you live, though, Pastor Kyle, because once you own that deed, even in where we live in the state of New Jersey, all three of us, we're still paying them taxes.
No,
man.
No.
You're still paying them property taxes.
The government always going to come after
you. Man, you're going to be paying and paying. Doug, to you, how would you describe faith and how it's meant to you?
Yeah, I think everybody has some sort of faith. You're going to put your faith in something because you want security. Mm-hmm. And Kyle, I think that analogy is great. You know, when you talk about, hey, I have a foundation that I could hold on to, that I know this to be true.
Yes.
And so we haven't done a show on superstition yet. I can't believe we're in season two and we still haven't done an episode
on
superstition.
Athletes are superstitious? I don't understand.
I think Doug is a little superstitious.
Maybe. But we're going to, future episode, we'll put our faith in something.
Yeah.
And I think when bad times happen, we search for something that we can find comfort in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those things are empty. But with the faith that we find in Jesus Christ and his promises to be true, his character to be true, that is something that we can hold and can be an anchor for us that will prevail against the storms.
Absolutely.
Right? To use that as an analogy. But Kyle, I love your analogy with just that deed. I can rest assured. And Rob, that's kind of how I view it, that my faith is in something that is a promise, that my faith is something that can get me through those hard times.
That's right.
In the good and the bad, and that I want to share with someone else. And I think that's pretty cool about the fact that it's not something that we have to tuck away and hide, that we can, other people can have it. It's a gift that's freely given to us that we can share with other people. So there's that hope and that joy in it.
Oftentimes people turn to their faith in those bad times.
Yeah.
Because, and they use it as a way to get through the situation. They use it as a way to navigate through whatever storm they're going through in life. But in the good times, right? When you're praising the Lord in the good times too, and you're showing that you have faith, that whatever it is, as I was talking about a little bit earlier, like if you want something bad enough, right, you can't just sit there on your hands and not go out and do anything about it, right? You're praying for it.
Yeah.
You're trying. If you sit there in prayer and all day, dear God, I need this job. I need this, whatever it is, right? But you're not actually seeking employment. The job's not going to come. It's not coming to you. If you want to enhance your career, I do all these different things, and I'm not going to get an opportunity if I don't pursue it. I'm not going to get, if somebody's going to come to me and say, hey, you know, I think we want to do this with, well, maybe you have to let them know what you're thinking, what you want to do. So even in those good times, even when we're riding the wave of success, right, I think it's important to always have that faith, that foundation as our backbone, as the backdrop, because it's not always going to be that way. But if we always rely on God as, hey, get me out of this situation, you know, or you forget about him, right? You forget about him for a couple weeks, couple months, but now you had a rough moment, you had a rough time, and say, hey, you're knocking on the door, and you're knocking, dear God, get me out, help me here.
Yeah, yeah.
Where were you when you were riding that success? Where was he? What were you thankful? Were you telling people how you reached those heights? Were you telling everyone about the faith that helped you get there? And then the people who look at us and say, well, you know, as I was saying earlier, I can't see it, right?
Yeah.
I can't touch it.
Correct.
I can't feel it. I can't poke it. Can't punch it. But I have it.
Yeah.
But I have it. So how do you try and explain to someone who may be skeptical, who may say, yeah, whatever, I need to. I'm a visual person.
Yeah.
I need to see this. I need to feel it. I need to be able to share it with my little ones or whatever it is.
Yep.
Like, how do you explain that to people who may be a little bit skeptical?
Well, I think first let me hit one thing that that we've been saying here. Faith is not a life preserver. Faith is a life promoter, and those two things are very different. So we turn to faith a lot of times. And when we say that, we're not actually talking about faith. We're talking about we turn to religious belief system. We turn back to a comfort zone that actually speaks peace into our life through that concept. Faith is a life promoter. Faith is the boundaries. Faith creates boundaries for us to live within and not go beyond. Faith actually connects us to the person of Jesus, not just the promises of Jesus. And so a lot of times we want to make faith a formula. Mm-hmm. If I do X, Y, Z, then God will do will do this. And yet it's not that. Faith is not a formula. Faith is actually an invitation to that relationship of God's faithfulness. So it's not a formula. It's a statement of faithfulness. And so when God actually lays out his promises, they are for us to claim and for us to stand on. And Rob, that's why I would say, I'd go back and I'd say, if you need to see something to believe it, put God's promises at work in your life and watch God move. You know, the Bible actually says, test me and see, right? So when it comes to, and we know that's about a verse about tithing, you know, test me and see if I won't throw open the storehouses of heaven, which is an amazing promise, something that many people are afraid to do, right? So at the core of one of our worst fears, letting go of finance, God said, come on, trust me in this and see something. So I actually do believe that you can see it. I think faith says it is so, even when it's not so, so that it will be so. But you have to have faith before you see it. If you don't have faith before you see it, it's not actually faith. It's just rejoicing.
You see it in action.
Absolutely right.
You see it in action all the time. So that's where I will go back to these people or anyone who may be skeptical and says, well, you can't see it. Yeah, you can't physically see something standing there and call it faith, but you could see a changed life.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
I see a changed life. I have a testimony. You have a testimony. You have one. Our changed life is evidence of that faith that we had in Christ in order for us to be where we are. So when I look at these things and I look at these situations and I look at some of the conversations, I go, yeah, I can't physically see this thing called faith, but you can see it in action. You can see what happened. And then when we're talking about, like, you have to believe it. We could go back to the Philly special play. What did Coach Peterson say in episode one of this? I believed that it was going to work before he called this play in the Super Bowl on fourth down when he had his finger on another play. He believed in it. The players practiced it and believed in it.
Yep.
Whether they thought it was the right time to do it or not, they knew whenever it was time to execute it, they had the belief. So when you have dreams, visions, goals, whatever it is, And you're in your prayer life, and you're in that walk, and you're in that journey with the Lord, if you envision what it is that's going to happen, like, I'm a firm believer that you have to envision it. You have to feel it. You have to see it mentally. Yeah. Like, you want to reach that mountaintop? You want to run that Goliathon race or whatever race it is? Cheap plug for Goliathon. Shameless plug for that. When is it coming up?
October 13th.
October 13th. If you want to see yourself at that finish line, if you want to reach it, envision it.
Yeah.
Envision, believe in it, and you'll get there.
I think we see that from other people, too. As a testimony from your life, I can be encouraged that I saw it in your life, and therefore I can envision in my life because there are those that have gone before me that have exemplified that faith and had that trust. And I can trust that God's worked in their life, and I can see him potentially working in my life if I continue that faith. And that's why the Bible tells us to persevere, right? To get through those tough times, and that it'll be evident to other people. And I think you guys both said it great, where it's the action that accompanies the faith that is going to be the testimony to other people.
That's why Paul says, you are my letters written.
Yeah.
Right? He was talking about to people. You guys are the thing that actually speaks of the power of the gospel. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. It's already done. And the word of our testimony, the things that God has done in our life. I do think, you know, to make sure that we're, you know, we continue to go down the right area with faith is that I don't have faith for something. I have faith in someone. And those two things are very different. They sound semantical, but they're not. I don't put my faith in the in my faith. I put faith in the character, nature, and truth of who God is, the very character of his life. Right. So you have two daughters. When they get old enough to be able to drive, and you say to them, or you know, maybe they're going to get to be 12 or 13 or 14, and you say to them, baby, when you turn 17, I'm going to get you a car. I'm going to get you a car. Would every day do you?
Don't put
are
me
you
on the spot.
No, no, no. No, you can believe that, girls. I'm just saying that. That's a word from God for you.
It's on tape.
It's on tape. Daddy said it. Would you expect them every day to go, oh, but if I don't clean my room today, are you going to take that car away? I mean, what do I have to do? That? No. I already told you. Right. Baby, when you turn 17, I got your car. What they're going to have faith in is you, because they know who you are.
Right.
Not what they have to do in order to make that happen, but who you are. And that's sometimes where we get lost along the way, because we're trying to put our faith in faith, even though that faith is in God. But no, we have to put faith in him. It's his character nature, because Rob, you and I both know, Doug has experienced it in powerful ways in his life. We can have faith and our life still not look like right. what we thought faith would produce, because God wants good for our life. He wants us, we've been saying this a lot, God wants us to be healthy, not happy. And if that means that health requires something differently than what we think our faith should produce, mm-hmm. it gets back to trusting him. My faith is in him.
But when we go through those tough times, that's where, for me, the scriptures became alive more so than they ever had before. So maybe we read through it, we're not applying it to our lives, and so it's words, it's good sayings, it's yes. motivational quotes that potentially we could put into neat situations that we may want to utilize them in. But when you have to cling to them, then they become alive to you.
Absolutely.
And they become that security that we could hold on to in those tough times. And then we find it's just a promise of God that's the only thing that we have. It becomes tangible,
yes.
becomes something that we can actually hold on. We can poke it. We can grab it, you know, and we can use it to punch the enemy when we get down, because there's going to be forces that are working on us, right? And what
yeah.
do we allow in
yeah.
to our hearts and to our minds to encompass our thoughts and our feelings? So one way or the other, it's going to get you down, right? We're either going to go negative
yeah.
with bad thoughts and worldly thoughts, or I deserve this, or this shouldn't have happened to me, or we're going to cling to those other promises and the scripture that's going to hold us tight. So something's going to fill our mind.
Absolutely.
And
right.
so they really do become tangible.
It's the shield of faith, right? It's the things that we have to put in front of us, right? A shield
right.
is always put in front of you.
The armor of God.
Absolutely right. How
yeah.
do we put things in front of us that are always going to be the buffer against those
yeah,
things that come out?
I'll go back to what I said before. You're going to put something in front of you.
Absolutely right.
And what are you going to cling to? Either you cling to, and I've always said, potentially drugs or alcohol or just things to be a distraction. But if you put things on that you can really dive into and hold on to, then that's going to fill your mind. So negative thoughts or positive thoughts, what do you
Absolutely.
Want to fill it with? So get in the scriptures and look at what God's promises are.
When we come back, we're going to hear from Patriots defensive lineman Trey Flowers. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.com.
High stakes, deep faith, and unbreakable brotherhood. Hi, this is Rob Motti, author and narrator of the new book and audiobook, Birds of Prey. I'm excited to share this incredible inside story about how faith inspired the Philadelphia Eagles in the season when they captured the biggest prize in professional sports, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Inside the book, you'll discover how unique friendships, deep faith, and big dreams shaped one of the greatest seasons ever for the team. Start listening to Birds of Prey on SoundCloud and download Birds of Prey wherever wherever audiobooks are sold.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. I had a chance to speak to many Christian players during Super Bowl week in frigid Minneapolis in February. Trey Flowers is one of the guys. He's a starting defensive lineman for the New England Patriots. He started the past two seasons for the Patriots, playing in that Bill Belichick defense. I had a brief conversation with him that we're going to listen to right now.
Trey, tell me the significance of Hebrews 11:1 and then Philippians 4:13. You obviously have them in your Twitter bio, so they must mean a lot to you.
Yeah, I mean, Hebrews 11:1, you know, it say, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So, you know, that's just the definition of faith, which is, you know, the thing you got to have just in life generally. And, definitely out here on this football field, you know, you got to understand that, you know, a lot of things probably don't look too good, or, you know, your situation might not look too good, but you got to continue to keep the faith and, continue to work hard. So, you know, that's a big scripture of my life. And then, you know, definitely Philippians 4:13, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It speaks for itself. Anything you put your mind to, anything you want to accomplish, any dream, if you allow God to, you know, guide your life and be in it, and, you know, you can definitely do all things. So, yeah.
How do you use your platform as a football player, as a guy who's been on the world champion New England Patriots, to be able to spread that message of love, the message of the gospel?
You definitely got to, you know, I just remember it throughout life, every time I speak, you know, in front of a mic or, you know, have a little success, just understand you got to give your glory to God. And, you know, you understand, you know, the reason you're in this position is, you know, because, you know, God's will. So, you know, just, living like that and living through that and speaking, speaking when I get interviews or when, you know, someone asks me about my success, I always remember, to give glory to God.
One last thing before I let you go. Having your faith, how has that grounded you, kept you humble? Yeah. Because a lot of guys, they get the success, they get in this business, they get the spotlight on them, and sometimes you can forget about God, you can forget about that. How has it kept you humble?
Oh, yeah, you definitely, you go through life and you have different experiences and you just understand that, you know, nobody but God could have put you in that situation. So, if you just know that and know that, you know, no matter what you do, no matter how good you are, you know, you're not at this level without him. So, you know, you got to always stay humble and stay grounded and understand to give him all the glory. And, that's going to allow you to continue to have success and, you know, he could continue to bless you.
And that was Patriots defensive lineman Trey Flowers. And when I had a chance to interview him that day, and I was going around trying to talk to different guys, and it was a chaotic scene. It was the final day of that media week, and that media week is, it's crazy, man. So they arrived. The Eagles arrived on Sunday. The Patriots, of course, wanted to wait till the last possible day. They've been through
Monday.
That.
Yeah,
they know
yeah.
what it's like.
Yeah.
So Belichick's like, we'll leave on Monday, arrive on Monday, show up. So first thing you do is Super Bowl opening night. So it's Monday night, and that scene is just It's bizarre, isn't it? It's crazy. Yeah. You call them journalists, you know. I hate air quotes. I think it's the first time I've used that in my life, and here I am doing it. But I mean, you have people there dressed in all kinds of costumes. That one year, there was a woman from. I believe it was a Spanish television network.
Yeah.
She wore a wedding dress and asked Tom Brady to marry her. So it's crazy. So I was like, tonight's not the night that I should be bringing this up to these guys. They got their hands full. So then Tuesday, you have different kinds of media availability. Wednesday, and then finally Thursday's the last day. They let them concentrate on football Friday and Saturday. So I got a bulk of these done in between, like doing 9,000 stories and everything else on that Thursday. So Trey was nice enough to be able to give me a few minutes of his time, and that's why we're talking about faith today. You know, I called this show today "Can't Touch This." It's got nothing to do with
MC Hammer.
No, MC Hammer, right?
I feel like I need Hammer pants on.
You can't, you know, you can't touch it, right? You can't touch it, but you can feel it. You could see its presence. Yeah. You know, you could see faith present in the lives of some of these players, whether they were Patriot players there,
right.
Whether they were Eagles players. You could see it. When you say you can't physically see faith, you could see it evident in their lives. You could see it working in how they are reacting to certain situations, how they're maintaining their composure, how they're dealing with the environment. That week was crazy to see everything that guys like Nick Foles was going through.
Yeah.
And then to have some of their faith filter out. We talked about Zach and a couple episodes ago when he's on the stay and he said, I'm here to make this, you know, my number one priority is to make disciples. And Trey's talking about anytime you have success, he said, you have to give glory to God. And while I certainly agree with him on that, we don't always hear guys when they fail give glory to God.
Yeah.
But also, the microphone's not thrown in their face.
Yeah, it's not in their face. Absolutely right.
And that's why, you know, you look for these opportunities, right?
Yep.
When guys have adversity, like when Carson suffered his knee injury.
Yes.
And everybody's waiting and wondering what he's going to say. And the next day he puts out the video where he shows everyone he's standing firm in his faith. So I think it's important, while, as Trey Flowers said, anytime you have success, you give glory to God. We always got to remember God's there in the good times. He's there in the bad times. Can't lose the faith.
That's right.
We can't lose it at all.
Yeah, I think faith is a little bit like the wind. You know, we can't always see it, but we can always see the effect of it. Like when I'm sitting inside my house, I may not even feel the wind, but I can look outside and see the effect of it. And that's what you're talking about, Rob. You know, when Carson hurt his knee, and Jordan Hicks is Achilles, and Chris Maragos his knee, all those things. What you watched is their constant response throughout. Not a one-time moment. Not a one-time moment, not a one-time statement. Their constant social media barrage of worship songs, of scripture, of encouragement to people, to involvement in community, even when they were hurt. They weren't backing away from those sort of things. That's the wind being blown. You're seeing the evidence, the leaves go by to know, I know it's windy outside. I know this faith is true because I'm watching the evidence of it.
Well, that's when we say, I can do all things through Christ. It's not just I can succeed, but I can get through a devastating injury. I can get through a hard time. And, you know, Trey mentioned that in the fact that, you know, if God is with us, if we're following God, even in success, then I can be reminded, I can stay humble in my successes because God's brought me here.
Yeah.
Hang on right there with Philippians 4:13, because when we come back, we're going to dive into that, because Philippians 4:13 is one of those universal Bible verses. I call it like a Mount Rushmore of Bible verses. And oftentimes it's taken a little bit out of context. So when we come back, we're going to bring in Pastor Rob Pinckney, who is the former Philadelphia Phillies team chaplain. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about it as well. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
High stakes, deep faith, and unbreakable brotherhood. Hi, this is Rob Motti, author and narrator of the new book and audiobook, Birds of Prey. I'm excited to share this incredible inside story about how faith inspired the Philadelphia Eagles when they captured the biggest prize in professional sports, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Within Birds of Prey, you'll discover the Eagles players' unique friendships, deep faith, and big dreams that shaped one of the greatest seasons ever for the team. In this audiobook, you'll hear insider accounts of the miracle season's most memorable moments, and you will discover a side of the Philadelphia Eagles that the world has yet to fully witness. I've also put together exclusive interviews from the players that will reveal the high stakes they face together and their relentless reliance on faith, which gave them strength in moments of crisis and celebration alike. You can start listening to the Birds of Prey audiobook on SoundCloud, and the audiobook is available on Audible, Google Play, Kobo, and wherever audiobooks are sold.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Caron University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Caron is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Caron is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at caron.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show presented by Caron University. I'm Rob Motti with Pastor Kyle Horner, Doug Horton, and it is our honor to be joined today in studio by the man, Pastor Robert Pinkney, former Phillies team chaplain. Pastor Rob, you had that job for how many years?
It was 5 years, actually.
Five years. And the reason why, I mean, that is an incredible calling to have that. But the reason why you felt you had the opportunity to move on from it, the calling to move on from it, is because you started your own church in Philadelphia, right where they need you, man. Right where. Tell everybody about your church, where it is, and a little bit about the decision that went into that.
Well, as I was talking to Pastor Kyle earlier, I said, man, God, me and God was fighting on this one. Yeah, because I really enjoyed, you know, working with the Phillies, you know, working with the team. The team was not doing so well, but it was doing, you know, pretty good spiritually wise. But God called me a different a pass pattern. I use a football analogy.
There you go.
Baseball.
You ran a different route.
Yeah, I wanted to run a post. He said, nah, you got to run something else. But it was crazy how, you know, God moved in that area because, like I said, I was fighting it. And I said, no, Lord, you know, I'm comfortable in this state right now. I'm comfortable, you know, doing the team chaplain as far as the Phillies is concerned. He said, no, I want you to do something different. I'm like, okay. And then when he said ministry, I'm like, wait a minute, God. Ministry, you know, he started a new church. And then, you know, I said, you know, that was something new to me.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have nobody, you know, that, you know, no church planting ideas or church planting experience, if that is a thing. But and then the area that he put me in, I said, oh, Lord, Jesus. You know? So I'm in the Kensington, Frankfurt area of the city. We had 426, if I could put a plug.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had 426 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. But it was something that it's something that I enjoy. Like I was explaining to Pastor Kyle again, because I love picking his brain because he's been there and done that.
We all love picking his brain.
Yeah, I pick his brain all the time. Every time
not
I see him.
Not a whole lot left in there, bro.
Every time I see him, my eyes light up. I was telling my wife about him, and I was like, man, I think Pastor Kyle going to be there. And I was trying to jot down some questions.
He's taking notes.
But
look at that humility, though.
I know. Yeah. So
look
true.
At the humility. I mean, you're awesome. A pastor. You run your own church. Pastor Kyle's a pastor. He's got a church. And to want that thirst for knowledge, to want to be able to like look at a guy and say, hey, he's got experience, he's got all this wisdom, and I want to get some of that and impart that back to my congregation. Yeah. We didn't even give out the name.
I'm sorry. Abundant Life Ministries.
Abundant Life Ministries.
Of Philadelphia.
Abundant Life Ministries. And Pastor Rob, you had a little opportunity, though, this year to, even though you weren't with the Phillies, you did work with a professional team in town. So tell everybody about that.
I worked with the Philadelphia Soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Up until this year, they were back-to-back champs.
Yep. Yeah.
So I was chaplain.
Until this year, bro.
Wherever Rob goes, the L's.
Back-to-back champs.
And now look at the Phillies. He left.
This is a bad place now.
But what was that experience like? Because these are professional football players, not on the level of the Philadelphia Eagles, but they're professional football players, and they also need somebody to be there to speak truth into their lives.
Yes, that was a great experience. And that was another door that God opened up where it didn't take away my time, you know, being a Phillies chaplain, you had to be there every Sunday. You were obligated to be with the team when they're home. Then you had to travel, do some travel dates. And that was something that I couldn't do just starting off a church. Right. So the soul, they had a chapel service on Saturdays. So it worked out. So I was down there, met a good group of guys, Coach Clint, giving a shout out to him too.
Yeah.
Great guy. He's from Texas, born again believer, strong believer in Christ. And it was a good experience for me at that time. You know, hopefully they'll call me back because Jaws, John Jaworski said, man, I'll see you next year. I said, hope so. You know? So hopefully I'll be back there next year if that's what God has in store for me. But it's a great experience as far as the church is going. Right now we are a small church with a big heart. And the only thing that I try to teach to the people, because they're not my people, they're God's people, that we are out here for the community. We're out to serve because we're all servants. And Jesus said it in his word that he said, I did not come to be served, but to be a servant. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing that I want to preach and teach to the church. And that's what we as believers are. We are all servants.
Yeah.
And that's why I love Kyle so much. I know y'all saying I love Doug too and love Kyle.
Listen,
Kyle, I mean, he's just somebody that you just gravitate to. Mm-hmm. And it's somebody that you just get feed off. I know by the time the end of the day he comes drained, his wife probably be like, man, he just drained because people just pulling from him.
You need to feed off somebody,
feed off Jesus.
You know, we talk a lot about that, though, but iron sharpens iron. That's a saying that a lot of guys talk about. And so, you know, we get encouraged by one another. We get together, and you have those brothers and sisters that pour into your lives that really make you a lot stronger and give you encouragement to continue to persevere. One question I have for you is, how do you feel like your 5 years with the Phillies really prepared you for this new adventure that God led you in? Because I know it was a huge transition. But when you reflect back on that, now that you've been at the church for a little while, you got it up and running, how do you see that God's worked in your life over those past 5 years as a team chaplain for the Phillies to lead you to where you are now?
Well, it did help me out a lot because, like, if you know, being a team chaplain, sometimes, especially when they're in a losing streak, you only get one guy.
Yeah.
You know, and you prepared that whole week and you just get one guy in. And that one guy, you know, you sit there, but God, you know, said, told me just to be faithful to him. No matter if you have the one person or you have the crowd in there. And I remember just past about last month or so, it was just me and my wife and my daughter and my son in the church. And I was like, whoa, this is flashbacks. And I'm like, wow. But that's the thing that a pastor, Pastor Rich, he once told me I replaced him as the chaplain with the Phillies. He said, Rob, just be faithful to God.
Yep.
He said, just be faithful to God. You're not doing this for man. You're doing this as unto the Lord. And that's the thing that encouraged me to make me say, you know what? I could do all this study, do all this research. And at one time, I even tried to stop. I said, ain't nobody going to come. Nobody's going to be there anyway. But God just knocked on my head and said, no. It's not about you. It's about me. You know, it's to bring glory to my name, whether it's one or whether it's 10 guys here. So that was one of the things that really, you know, made me feel like, oh, man, flashbacks, you know, chaplain.
and nobody there. It's tough for guys to come out.
Yeah, you know, when we're faithful in the little, the avenue for more comes. And, you know, I heard a great story about Paul Yonggi Cho. Dr. Cho runs the biggest church in the world, over a million people in Seoul, South Korea. And, I mean, just a million people. So when we start thinking about our churches are big or small, no, they're nothing. Right? They're compared to a million people, it's amazing. A friend of mine gave him his first tent to preach in. And when he was preaching that, there would only be a handful of people that would come out. And one day his wife said to him, honey, you're preaching like there are thousands here when there's only a handful. And he said, no, there's already 1,000 here in here. Mm. And I think that's the thing that we have to recognize. That's what you were talking about earlier, Rob. You know, the truth is that faith sees it before appears. It sees it spiritually before it appears naturally.
You saw those 1,000 before those million.
Absolutely right. So and you have to be faithful to preach to the 12. There's this amazing moment in John chapter 6 where the Bible says Jesus loses the whole crowd, and even disciples start walking away, and he looks at Peter and says, you guys going to go too? Mm-hmm. And he lost everyone because he was faithful to the word. He was faithful to the mission of life. And I think that's what we need to, we just in whatever field we're in, whatever platform we have, We have to be faithful to the little that God gave us, regardless of whether more comes or not, because the value is not found if there's more that comes. The value is found in being faithful to the one who gave you what he gave you.
Amen. That's interesting. I've had a struggle like that, not as a pastor, but in prison ministry.
Absolutely.
When you go in there, and I know I'm set to speak that day, right? And you see in the prison yard, there may be like 400 or 500 people. And now I'm fired up. I'm pumped up because I'm ready, because I'm going to speak to like 400 or 500 people. Yep. And I want to bring it. I got the passion. I got the energy. But then sometimes you go in there and the prison yard has only got, you know, a handful of guys watching, and you're only going to preach to the team that yes. day. You're not going to speak to a whole big prison yard. You're not going to have 1,000 people. And I challenge myself to try and have that same passion and that same energy and bring the same message, whether it's 8 people I'm speaking to or 800.
Absolutely.
And it's a constant struggle. And I don't get to, you know, I get to do it a handful of times a year. Mm-hmm. And you guys get that every week.
I value that, Rob. But what I want to encourage you with is you actually do that every time when you go to the marketplace. You are faithful mm-hmm. to be who God called you to be in your marketplace. Because I don't want you know, our listeners or viewers to actually be able to sit back and say, well, I guess I have to be a missionary or a pastor right. to be able to fit. No, yeah. What we've been given, we need to be faithful in the marketplace. We need to be faithful in our family, yes. in our family mm-hmm. life, in our private life. You know, they're the things that we have to make sure that we're faithful to, because it's about being faithful to him, the one who gave us. You know, there's this great moment where Jesus said, and we've quoted it here even on the show, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant, mm-hmm. right? Well, what is he saying that to? He's not saying because you fed the right number of people, because mm-hmm. you gave water to the right number yeah. of people, because you acted right to the right number of people. Oh, I'm sorry, you're not faithful enough because you didn't reach the number. Mm-hmm. He's saying, no, because you did what I asked you to do, because you were actually bringing them me in the midst of this. You were yes. faithful with what I gave wow. you. That's the reward. Everyone, a dad, a mom, a co-worker, we have to be faithful in what God's given us.
Well, Pastor Kyle, you just gave me another opportunity for a shameless plug for my book, Birds of Prey, because we talk about in here the chapter, and I've reiterated this story on one of numerous interviews that I've done, when people say, what led you to that point? How did you get to the point of writing this book? And there's a chapter in there when I talk about having a conversation with you the first time I yeah. met you, and you said, no, you're right where God needs you to be. Mm. Take Jesus to your marketplace. Don't yeah. go look for a different job. Don't go look for a full-time ministry somewhere outside. God put you where you are.
Yes.
You're exactly where he needs you to yep. be. And from that conversation, this show evolved a few months later, yeah. and all of this stuff grew. Mm. So it's great that you emphasize that point to everybody listening and watching, is that you don't need that platform. You don't need the platform of any type of ministry. You have your own platform.
You have
at
a
home.
Platform of ministry.
It begins at home.
Absolutely right.
It begins at home. Yeah. Take it into your marketplace, and that's where you're needed. We want to talk a little bit about Philippians 4:13, because Trey brought it up, Trey Flowers, in the interview earlier, as one of his favorite Bible verses. And this is a favorite among so many people, so many, and athletes who have. I did a book called Baseball Faith. I did a book called Football Faith. And I asked players, what's your favorite Bible verse? And I'll tell you, man, time and time again, God would come, Philippians 4:13. I'd be like, give me another one.
Yeah.
I need another one.
That somebody already
took that one. And depending on the level of the talent of the player, like if it was a yeah. Hall of Famer, and I wasn't going to go back to him and be like, yeah, give me another one. But if it was a guy who I would be like, all right, you need to change it. If you're going to make it into this book, you need to change. Yeah. Give me another one. Give me a John 3:16. Give me a Romans 8:28. Give me something different. But Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, is often taken out of context. So before we talk about how that's taken out of context, I want to read what Philippians 4:10 to 4:13 says.
Yep.
And Paul here is saying, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, you've seen players take it out of context.
Yes.
You've seen people in real life, any Christians, take it out of context. I'm sure I've taken it out of context. We did a whole show on this, Pastor Kyle.
Yeah.
Tell me, from reading that and the entire thing, what Paul is referring to there.
Yeah, I mean, basically he's simply saying, no matter what my circumstance is, I can face every circumstance because my foundation for life and my foundation for decisions, the way that I see my circumstance, the way I see myself in my circumstance, is through the filter of Jesus Christ. Mm. And so it's not about the ability to do something extraordinary. It's about understanding that the extraordinary personage of God actually exists in every circumstance. And that those things are very different. It's not a magic pill, right? I don't get to be the Hulk, right? Because of this.
I can do all things. I won this Super Bowl. Yeah. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. Maybe Christ is also trying to give you the strength to get through that cancer diagnosis. Mm. And maybe Christ is giving you strength in every situation. Paul is beaten down. He's correct. Shackled. Mm. Yep. He's in prison. He doesn't care about his circumstances. Yeah. Mm. He doesn't need anything else. As he says in the Bible, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Yeah. I have learned the secret of being content in and every situation. And his situation is not, his happiness is not dictated by everything he's accumulated. Mm-hmm. His desire, his happiness is dictated by the relationship he has in the Lord.
The source.
His contentment comes from
that. What is your source for daily life? Yep. Regardless of what daily life throws at you, what's your source? And Pastor Robert, you're going through, you know, as you plan a new work.
Yes.
You know, people have a concept of what ministry looks like. You know, you get to pray all the time, read your Bible all the time, yeah. Go golfing all the time. And life is very different than that. But
golfing all the time.
I know, right? It'd be great. But it really gets back to where you draw your source from.
Yes.
And who are you finding as your foundation stone for life?
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about that a little bit.
Yes. People take that out of context. Mm-hmm. And you got to dig into the, you know, beginning verses where you got to realize that Paul was in the prison.
Yeah.
He was beaten down, like you said. He was in a prison, and he was talking to a Philippian church that was going through opposition at the time. And he was trying to encourage them. Now, that's something. When you're in prison, encouraging someone else. But the main thing that I want to point out is that Paul said he had to learn that. So in other words, he didn't always had that.
That's good.
You know, he couldn't always do this. So what we got to do is, like, we got to learn how to be content in every area. That speaks to me too.
Yeah.
You know, I still got to preach Christ, even if it's one, like I said, even if it's 10 or 10,000 people, I'm still preaching Christ. And one other thing that I want to point out is that what you said, Christ is the source.
He's the source.
Jesus said it best. He said, I am the tree, you are the branches, and without me, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
So the main thing that we got to do in order for us to do this, to be able to be content, is we got to stay connected to Christ. That's it. If you're not connected to Christ, there's no way that you could do that. There's no way that you can say, you know what, I can still do all things through Christ that strengthens me if you're not connected to Christ.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing.
I can do it all, man. I can do it all, whether it's happy, whether it's sad, whatever it is.
Yes.
If you hold on to that relationship, if you hold on to that, it's not about the success.
No.
Well, it's not about what you have. Mm. Sometimes it's about what you don't have.
Well, that contentment breeds confidence, and that confidence then leads to faith, right? So when we say we have confidence in our faith, it's because we've gone through that contentment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rob, another plug for your book in chapter 4. You know, one way that I was thinking about it was...
He knows the chapters better than us.
That's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
But, you know, when we talk about taking Christ to our marketplace, that's how the show kind of came about, and that was a passion that Christ gave to you. But, you know, Carson Wentz talks about going to Haiti for the first time, and sometimes we think, you know, Kyle, you talked about full-time missions. What about, you know, a week-long missions trip or a couple-day mission trip where you're like, hey, if I go to another country, if I go to Haiti, then that'll give me extra points, right? And then I'll grow more spiritually. But the reality is that it actually allows us to see things in a different way. And so Carson's comment was, you know, I went to Haiti, but then I realized I could go there for a couple days and tell everybody about God, but I can't tell the guy sitting next to me at my locker about Christ. Yeah. And he was convicted by that.
Wow.
And I think that when we go to our marketplace, the contentment that we have in our position where God's called us to be for today leads to a confidence to tell other people. And then they can start to see your faith through your actions. Mm. And it might just be the guy next door. But, you know, Kyle, you've told some stories before where one guy – mentors another guy and dives into his life and allows him just to be encouraged. Then that guy goes and tells somebody else. And then you go down the chain. But as you get down the chain, the fifth, sixth guy ends up being the pastor of a megachurch.
Correct.
Right? You know,
yeah. Billy Graham. It's just,
you just don't know. Yeah. Well, a lot of stories like that, right? But,
absolutely.
But I guess it's that contentment in every situation that breeds the confidence that gives us the faith for the future that other people can see and other people can actually touch.
Mm. The Bible verses of the day, huh? Hebrews 11:1 and Philippians 4:10-13.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take that out of context. Yeah. Read it. Philippians 4:10-13. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. This is Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
High stakes, deep faith, and unbreakable brotherhood. Hi, this is Rob Motti, author and narrator of the new book and audiobook, Birds of Prey. I'm excited to share this incredible inside story about how faith inspired the Philadelphia Eagles in the season when they captured the biggest prize in professional sports, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Inside the book, you'll discover how unique friendships, deep faith, and big dreams shaped one of the greatest seasons ever for the team. Start listening to Birds of Prey on SoundCloud and download Birds of Prey wherever audiobooks are sold.
And we are back on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, Pastor Rob Pinckney, and Doug Horton. Guys, before we tell everybody where they can follow us, watch us, listen to us, and all that social media and everything else, let's give a final word on what faith is. And Pastor Rob, you didn't even get into it yet, so I'm gonna go back to you. Let's go to Kyle. Give us a final word on faith.
Yeah, I love the fact that Paul tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. Faith is the avenue of intimate connection with God.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm still trying to poke it and punch it. By the end of the show, maybe we can figure that out. Doug, go ahead. Give us your final take.
Exercise your faith through action. Put it into practice, and you'll be able to see it.
Yeah.
How about you, Pastor Rob?
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I want to please God.
Amen.
Amen. It's good.
Amen. Amen. I, as I said earlier in the show, like without faith, I would be nothing. Mm. I would be nothing without my faith in the Lord. Doug, we have so many fun things coming up.
We really
do. So many different ways people can, now they can purchase the book on faithonthefieldshow.com, and we have other stuff. So let them know first where they can find us and what else we have coming out.
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. It's a great way to kind of see all the inside things that we're doing, some pictures of different interviews that we have going on. So follow us and make sure you share out some of our material to other people. Our website's getting redone, so really cool things that are happening with that.
But it is live. It's getting redone, but it's live.
Yeah, so you can get Birds of Prey from faithonthefieldshow.com. And right now we have inventory of Faith on the Field shirts. So you can get T-shirts, guys, girls. So we have a couple different styles. So you could walk your talk and let people know about your faith as you get out there. So we appreciate everybody's support just through social media, through the website. And now you can actually support us physically by wearing our gear. So get your Faith on the Field gear.
We've done some Facebook Live stuff recently as well. So
we have.
Pay attention to those kind of things as well.
Yeah, we have an interview coming up with Coach, Hall of Fame Coach Tony Dungy. If you watch this on Facebook Live, we had an opportunity to speak to Hall of Fame Coach Tony Dungy before the Eagles-Falcons NFL season opener, and that should be coming up soon. And I'm going to keep shamelessly plugging my book, Birds of Prey, but I'm going to ask everybody out there, listen, I appreciate all the love, right? I appreciate the texts. I appreciate the messages and the emails and everything, like, the book is great and it changed my life and it's this and that way, all that. I love it, man. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Now, can you take that and put it into action? Can you go on Amazon and leave a review? Because if it's so, if you loved it so much.
I'm sorry.
I thought you did. I saw it verified. I thought was you. That was you. So, can you reach it? Hey, Dougie, can you hook me up a little bit?
Absolutely.
I actually was embarrassed to ask you, how do you do that?
Man, I don't know. I'm telling everybody. I guess you go.
Well, hey, reviews do matter. I mean, whether you're on Amazon for the book, whether you're on our podcast on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, okay. even Facebook. So anytime you leave a review for anybody, it definitely helps out. Obviously, we like the positive ones, but give a good rating because it does matter. It does matter to help push it out and for people to recognize the book, the show. Yep. But overall, Rob, with your book, it is affecting lives. And when you give that out, understanding that somebody could read this and absolutely change somebody else's life. So they may not read the Bible, but maybe they'll read a book about the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles and see Christ through that, but give them a Bible right after.
I want them to read the Bible. Yeah. But if this leads them to that, and I did a book signing at Giant, my first book signing, and I got a couple more coming up at various churches. Yeah. Pastor Rob, if you need me, I'll be there for you. Pastor Kai, I got you. But and it was so they bring out this Eagles cake and I'm getting a little a little frustrated because people are coming up and they're eating the cake and nothing's happening. I'm like, all right, and I got so much going on. And I'm like, man, God, why you got me here today? Why did I say I'm gonna do it? And then one person comes in and buys six.
Wow.
For all 12 year olds, her son who's 12 and five other 12 year olds. And then someone else buys two and another one buys three. And this is as I had left, right? I had signed one for somebody outside. And he said, no, come back in. I think somebody wants. And then they all start coming back in. So I appreciate that. I want to say thank you to Doug Horton, Pastor Rob Pinckney, Pastor Kyle Horner. Thank you to Kay, to John, to Darlene, to Dan, Celia, Giuliano. We miss you. Yep. Thanks to Victoria for learning the ropes. I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.